2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. This is the word of the Lord. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, and David grew steadily stronger, but the house of Saul grew weaker continually. Sons were born to David at Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second, Chileab, by Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife Eglah. These were born to David at Hebron. And it came about, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner was very angry over the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show kindness to the house of Saul your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hands of David. And yet today you charge me with a guilt concerning the woman. May God do so to Abner, and more also, if as the Lord has sworn to David, I do not accomplish this for him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could no longer answer Abner a word, because he was afraid of him. Then Abner sent messengers to David in his place, saying, "Whose is the land? Make your covenant with me. And behold, my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel over to you." And he said, "Good, I will make a covenant with you. But I demand one thing of you, namely, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see me." So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife Michal, to whom I was betrothed, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel the son of Laish. But her husband went with her, weeping as he went, and followed her as far as Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, "Go, return." So he returned. Now Abner had consultation with the elders of Israel, saying, "In times past you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.'" And Abner spoke also in the hearing of Benjamin, and in addition Abner went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and to the whole house of Benjamin. Then Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron, and David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. And Abner said to David, "Let me arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may be king over all that your soul desires." So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Thank you. The house of Saul is a rejected house, rejected by the Lord. The house of David is a chosen house, chosen of the Lord. Before Saul's death, David wandered in the wilderness with no place to rest his head. But the time of David's humiliation has come to an end. Therefore, his house grows stronger and stronger, but the house of Saul grows weaker and weaker. It is not the visible strength of David's house alone that would indicate that he is the chosen of the Lord, nor is it the visible weakness of Saul's house that would indicate that he is the rejected of the Lord. For there was a time when Saul's house appeared strong, when David appeared weak. We know that Saul is rejected. We know that David is chosen. We know it in light of the word of the Lord, the word of promise concerning David, and the word of judgment against Saul. To Saul, God has said, because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. It's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26. But to David, God says, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8. According to the word of the Lord, we are to understand the strengthening of David's house to be the fulfillment of God's purpose to bless David and all who belong to him. And the weakening of Saul's house, according to the word of the Lord, we are to understand it as the fulfillment of God's purpose to curse Saul and all who belong to him. Now I stress this, that it is not only the visible strength and weakness that indicates this, but as it is indicated by the word of the Lord, because we often fall into a mechanical understanding of God's favor as it is expressed in history. If we do not interpret all things according to the purpose of the Lord as it is revealed in Christ, then we are prone to understand visible strength, wealth, and honor to be a sign of God's pleasure, and visible weakness, poverty, and dishonor to be a sign of God's displeasure. But with whom was God more pleased than his son, who suffered all the miseries of this life, whom it was his will to crush? With whom is God more pleased? In Psalm 73, it is only as the psalmist contemplates the end, that is, the end of history, the end of this age, it is only as the psalmist contemplates that end that he is able to understand why it is, how it is, that the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. Because in the end, the wicked will not prosper, but suffer eternal condemnation. here in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it is the working out of that end that is being revealed. It is the working out of that end of history that is being revealed. The end of that conflict between the offspring of the serpent and the offspring of the woman. The house of David grows stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grows weaker and weaker. There is a comfort in this for God's church. As she endures hardship in this age, as she endures the sufferings of this age, she knows that the fatal blow has been struck against the kingdom of Satan, against the house of Saul. She knows that the victory is won, that it is sure. She knows that the church is being built stronger and stronger upon the foundation of the apostles, Christ Himself, the cornerstone. The church's spiritual warfare, by which she grows stronger and stronger, it is in 2 Samuel foreshadowed in the physical warfare between the house of David and the house of Saul. According to the promise of the Lord, David's house grows stronger and stronger, and Saul's house weaker and weaker, until that day when all God's people are united to the anointed of the Lord. It is unto the end that all God's people be united to David. That is why the church preaches the gospel throughout the earth, that all God's people, that all God's people might hear His voice, that they might be gathered unto Him. What does it say in Matthew 24, verse 14? The gospel of the kingdom, it must be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This conflict between two houses, it is unto the end that all God's people be united to the Christ. It is unto this end that the church wages her warfare. Thus, David's chosen house wages war with the rejected house of Saul, that all Israel, that all God's people might be united to Him, might enjoy the kingdom of God in Him. The strength of David's house and the weakness of Saul's house, it is further expressed in verses 2 through 16. It is expressed through the fertility of David's house and the apparent infertility of the house of Saul. In verses 2 through 5, we are told that sons were born to David. At Hebron, 6 sons were born to David, each born to him by a different woman. And this may cause us to pause. We might wonder at the propriety of this situation. David is the chosen of the Lord, a man after God's own heart. But here we read that he has 6 wives. In 1 Chronicles chapter 3, we read of 7. Not including his concubines. We cannot but be reminded here of the warning in Deuteronomy concerning Israel's king. In chapter 17, verse 17, which reads, "The king shall not acquire for himself many wives, lest they turn his heart away." And as 2 Samuel progresses, we will witness all the complications that come from these sons of David's many wives. And as those complications become apparent, it also becomes apparent that though the Christ is to come from David's house, David himself is not the reality, but only the shadow. Nevertheless, just as God was pleased to use Jacob's two wives and two concubines to build his church, so also he is pleased to use the multiple wives of David to establish his house. Furthermore, verses 2 through 5, they are an indication of the one to come. They are an expression of that expectation of the one to come. Six sons were born to David in Hebron, but it is the seventh that is born to him in Jerusalem, through whom the promises of God will be fulfilled. That seventh being born to the woman Bathsheba, that seventh being Solomon. Solomon, who will build a house for God's name, the throne of whose kingdom God will establish forever. Now we have noted in previous passages some of the parallels between the opening of 1 Samuel and the opening of 2 Samuel. And here we find another. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Barren Hannah, she is given a son whom she dedicates to the Lord. She dedicates him to the Lord that he might dwell before the Lord all his days. And upon her giving Samuel to the Lord, upon her giving him to the Lord, she exults in the Lord and rejoices in his salvation, for she says, "The barren has borne seven." And she confesses that the Lord will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. And after this, the Lord visits Hannah, and she bears five more children. She bears five more children, six in all. The seventh, the anointed, Hannah herself does not bear, but he is born through the ministry of her son Samuel, whom she has dedicated to the Lord. At the beginning of 1 Samuel, we are to look for this seventh one to come, the offspring of promise, the anointed of the Lord, and we find him in David. And now, here at the beginning of 2 Samuel, David's six sons, they stand parallel to the six children of Hannah. And we are now looking for that seventh son, that seventh to come, the offspring of promise whom we will find in Solomon, the builder of God's house, who himself is but a shadow of the Christ to come, David's son, yet David's Lord, to whom all God's people are united, built together as a holy temple to the Lord, as a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. despite the sinfulness of David's many wives, the children whom he begets by these wives, at the beginning of 2 Samuel, they are a source of hope that God will bring deliverance unto his people through David's house. It is the continuation of God's purpose to fulfill his promise through David and his house. Now, this expression of the strength of David's house, this expression of strength in verses 2 through 5, it is contrasted with two expressions of weakness in Saul's house in verses 6 through 16. In verse 6, it is not Ish-bosheth and his sons that are making strong the house of Saul. Rather, it is Abner, the commander of the army of Israel, that has made himself strong in Saul's house. There is for Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, no list of wives, no list of sons whom they bore to him. Rather, what we find is a conflict between Ish-bosheth and Abner over one of Saul's concubines. Abner has gone into one of Saul's concubines, and Ish-bosheth questions Abner, why? In the Old Testament, to take the concubine of a king is to lay claim to his kingdom. It is to lay claim to his kingdom. This explains the vile actions of Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 22. When he takes his father's concubines and goes into them in the sight of all Israel. It explains Solomon's anger in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, against Adonijah his brother, who sought from him Abishag the Shunammite, who shared David's bed in his old age. Abner's actions within Saul's house are a claim to the kingdom of Saul. They are a claim to authority over Saul's house. But when Abner is confronted with this claim, he becomes angry with Ish-bosheth. He becomes angry with Ish-bosheth and determines instead to accomplish for David what the Lord has sworn to David, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and to establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba, from north to south, over all God's people. Now we may wonder at the motivation of Abner. But Abner sends messengers to David, confessing David to be king. Whose is the land? Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel over to you. Abner knows the word of the Lord. that it is the purpose of the Lord to give the kingdom to David, to unite all Israel in him. Abner knows the purpose of the Lord, and now he seeks to be in covenant with the anointed of the Lord. Abner, in seeking this covenant relationship, he is seeking the assurance of life from David, whose enemy he has been thus far. Abner no longer seeks unity and peace as he did before, according to the flesh. He now seeks that unity and peace in the anointed of the Lord, in the Christ. And David responds favorably to Abner, that he will make his covenant with Abner upon the condition that Abner brings to him Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom he purchased as a bride for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And again, Saul's house is weakened, and David's house is strengthened. For Ishbosheth makes no protest, but takes Michal from Paltiel, her husband. Her husband, who follows after her, weeping as he follows, but returns to his place at the word of Abner. This transfer of Michal from the house of Saul to the house of David, it is a sign of the strengthening of David's house and the weakening of Saul's house, as it is representative of the transfer of all Israel to David. In verse 18, Abner speaks of David as the one whom the Lord has anointed to save his people from the hand of the Philistines. With what did David purchase for himself Michal? Through his circumcision of the Philistine's flesh. David purchased for himself his bride, Michal, through his circumcision of 100 Philistines. So also will he purchase for himself all Israel by delivering them from the hand of all their enemies. The weeping of Paltiel after Michal. The weeping of Paltiel after Michal. At first glance, we might feel sympathy for him. But it is the weeping that comes to those who would take for themselves what belongs to the Christ. The transfer of Michal to David, it is mirrored in verses 17 through 19 as Abner holds counsel with all the elders of Israel, including the elders of Benjamin, Saul's own tribe, according to the flesh. Abner holds counsel with all Israel, and he announces to them the word of the Lord concerning David. He does not say to them that they should make David king. He does not say to them that they should make David king, but that David is the king, that David is the servant of the Lord, through whom they must be saved. Abner is proclaiming the gospel to Israel. The kingdom of God, it is at hand. It is coming through David, his servant. If you would have life, if you would enjoy that kingdom, you must seek it in him. You must be united to him as your head. And that word was good to all Israel. Abner's covenant with David. It is unto his feasting with David at Hebron. Abner, who strove after the kingdom of God, who sought to establish a kingdom against the kingdom of God, who sought exaltation in that false kingdom, who persecuted the church of God, seeking to destroy it. Now, he is pleased to be called a servant of David, to seek the kingdom in him. To proclaim the word of God concerning him, that all Israel might be gathered, that all Israel might confess with him David as Lord. And Abner departs in peace. And again we are confronted with that reality of the people of God, that the household of God, it is a household of sinful people, all saved by grace, all who have acted wickedly in the flesh, but are accepted by God in Christ. In him, we have peace with God. The one who is united to Christ is accepted by God. He has peace with God. Shall we resent God for the grace which he showed Abner and David? What does Paul say of you? You yourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing your days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved you. Not of because of works done by you in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on you richly through Jesus Christ, your Savior, so that being justified by his grace, you might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Shall we resent God for the grace which he has shown his people in Christ?
May it never be. Amen. Let us pray.